Chapter 17.
With a line of Coruscanti sky towers gleaming on the horizon and the lush gardens of Fellowship Plaza spread out 1,000 meters below, the view from Pinnacle Platform was breathtaking, even to a Barabel. The platform was the Jedi Temple's highest landing pad, an elegant blonde stone deck large enough to receive diplomatic shuttles. On a clear day, a being with a predator's keen eyes could stand at its Sankowood balustrade and watch bureaucrats taking lunch in Peace Park, or gaze down the grand promenade and ponder the security sled swarming the silver cylinder of the Galactic Justice Center. But the beings gathered on the platform that morning had no more interest in the spectacular view than the sleek Incom crew comet descending to land. The shuttle was carrying Zek, Tekly, and a handful of recovered Jedi Knights returning from temporary exile on Shidu Maud. Hoping to make the group feel comfortable and welcome after their recent bout of psychotic illness, the Masters had arranged an enthusiastic reception at the temple's most prestigious entrance. Unfortunately, a crisis on a faraway world had erupted just as the shuttle entered the atmosphere, and now all eyes were locked on the nearest datapad. It seemed to Saba that events on Blaudu Sextus were already shaping the future of the Jedi in ways she did not comprehend.
"Stun bolts, yes?"
asked the Council's newest member, Barat Kel.
"No officer would kill a reporter on live holonet."
"Balak Rall would," Leia said. "Those were no stun bolts."
"This one agrees,"
Saba said, peering over the heads of both Solos at the datapad in Han's hands. He was holding it out for others to view, but being careful to keep the screen high enough to prevent Alana from seeing the violence.
"If Rall will kill on the steps of the Jedi Temple, he will kill anywhere."
The grainy image zoomed in on a Deveronian journalist lying motionless in a narrow stone stairwell, then focused on a pair of smoking scorch holes that left no doubt about the nature of the bolts that had struck her chest. Saba noted the corpse's absolute stillness and the awkward angle of its limbs, and she knew that Mati Vant had been dead before the holosignal reached Coruscant. A tiny clatter sounded from the datapad speaker, a section of stone wall collapsing off camera, and it was followed an instant later by the screech and drone of a blaster-on-lightsaber battle. The cam operator lingered on the smoke rising from Vaunt's body long enough to establish firmly that she had been killed, then zoomed out to show two Jedi Knights, a powerful-looking Chev named Sathaya Sar, and a slender, dark-haired human named Avinoam Aurelis, fighting their way into the bottom of the stairwell. For a moment, the pair stood shoulder to shoulder, their bright blades weaving a basket of color as they batted blaster bolts back at their Mandalorian attackers. Then, moving so smoothly and swiftly that Saba almost missed it on the grainy transmission, they executed a perfect shield maneuver, with Sathaya stepping forward to protect both of them, while Avinoam remained motionless, a little behind him and to one side. Dropping his lightsaber to his side, Avinoam raised his free hand and started to wag it gently. Armored Mandalorians suddenly began to fly back and forth, crashing into the stone walls and dropping to the stairs in flailing heaps of Beskar Gam armor, spraying stray blaster fire everywhere.